This is the first Sunday of the month, and typically we do prophecy. And I am doing prophecy, but it's less about how prophecy happens and more about prophecy as a whole. The trustworthiness of prophecy and God's word is paramount in our lives. We can count on God's word more than we can count on the very air we breathe. We need God's word in our lives. It's the pilgrim's guide. It's the compass for our soul. So we're going to begin reading. There's so much in this book, we could just read the whole book, but we really don't have time. So we're going to begin reading verse 16. This is Peter speaking. For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people think what we tell them are fables, but we know that it's not. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. I believe every word of this book. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover, it says Pastor Roger Jones. That's right. Amen. So Peter starts out reminding the readers that this is not a fable. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now we think of that phrase, his majesty, as like some king, but this is not a title, this is a description. His majesty, the majestic glory of God in Jesus Christ. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. I like that phrase, excellent glory. It was the glory cloud above the mountain, Mount Hermon. They went up there. At the foot of the mountain, Jesus reminded them that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. He said that there because Mount Hermon is where the watchers came down, the ones who impersonated God back in the old days, right? What the Greeks call the gods, right? Hercules and Perseus and Fleas and all those guys, right? But this is the glorious voice, the excellent glory of God, that spoke when they were on the mountain from the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So Peter's reminding you, this was not a fable. I was there, I was on the mountain, I heard this voice come out of the cloud, and it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. And we heard the voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So here we have an eyewitness of this, of his majesty and the glory of God speaking, this is my beloved Son. I was there, I saw it, I heard it, I experienced it, Peter saying. You can't exchange that for, I mean, talk about experience. We've all had experiences with the Lord in our walk, but none of us have had what Peter had. I mean, that's a pretty amazing event in his life. But then verse 19 goes on to say, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, or we have a more excellent word of prophecy. I think King James says it much better. More sure word, yes. Something more sure than your own eyes, something more sure than your own ears, we have prophecy. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place. Well, we understand that we are living in the dark place right now, right? We are living in the darkest time in human history. We are living in it, church. That's why we need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our light and glorify our Father in heaven, because it's dark out there spiritually. It is the darkest it's ever been. I read about 2 or 3 months ago that Hugh Hefner may cancel the Playboy magazine. What was once an oddity is so commonplace there's no demand for it. How sad. That shows how dark we've gotten. That people don't have to go to some seedy back room and buy a magazine. With two clicks, they can see the same stuff. That's where we're at, church. It's a dark day. And we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. if we don't do it, it won't get done. If we don't do it, it won't get done. If we don't shine our light, there will be no light. If we don't speak up, there will be no voice. And we have this sure word of prophecy. We don't have to be on the mountain and hear the voice like Peter. We've got something more sure than seeing it with our own eyes. We have the prophetic word of God in our hands. And that prophetic word shines as a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Now, that's not the end of the sentence, but I'm going to take a breath there. I posted something on Facebook this week about my favorite Paul's run-on sentence. And my commentary along with it was long. I had a friend of mine post, that's a run-on sentence. And in reality, I didn't want to correct him, but run-on sentences are what I did. Paul put all the right punctuation in. He could get away with it. It was grammatically correct, but it was long. Knowing this first. When God tells us to know something, it's not just there. He wants us to know it, right? This is instruction to you and to me. That no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Since we focus on prophecy here at Faith Fellowship, I felt it important that we talk about the interpretation of prophecy this morning. Because I think we have all been guilty of reading something on the internet or thinking about something and putting our spin on it. Right? You hear where I'm coming from? And we have to make sure that we compare Scripture to Scripture, right? And that we do not add to or take away from what God said. And if we do, we need to, and you've heard me, I will emphasize speculation because we don't want to make speculation doctrine, right? Because no prophetic or prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, I've got certain fans, if you want to call it that, or people that I look at on the internet. Certain people I listen to on YouTube, and I'm sure some of you do too. Or maybe you have your favorite author or your favorite preacher or whatever the case may be. The point is, if we are truly living in the darkest time of humanity, we need to make sure that we are very careful with our interpretation of prophecy. Not saying that anybody's wrong. I'm just saying that I think this is something we need to think about. Now, with that being said, I want to just read you a few verses that kind of exemplify why I am saying what I'm saying. Most of you know some of these. Genesis 3:5, For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Who said that? The devil did, right? The serpent. For God knows that in the days that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that is what we call a what? Lie, right? Jesus said he was a liar and the father of lies. He invented the lie, right? Right? He birthed the lie in Genesis and he continued it for 6,000 years. Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you shall be cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat thereof all the days of your life. Because you did what? Because you lied and deceived people. That's what he does. Matthew 4:6, and he said to them, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, you'll give his angels charge concerning you, and in your hand they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Now, he lied to Eve. He's manipulating and twisting God's word here, right? See, this is why I'm saying we need to make sure if it's as dark as I say it is, and I believe it is, then none of us are exempt from the subtle, deceptive lies of the devil. I include myself in there too. None of us are. I fear when I consider, tremble when I consider how easily Satan deceived Eve, who was probably closer to God than any of us, she was walking in light, clothed in the light of God. And so we need to be men and women of the Scriptures, something that is more sure than seeing God, seeing or hearing God from a mountaintop, right? Mark 1:13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts and the angels ministering to him. John 8:44. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, here's what he says. You don't build a church this way, by the way. You're your father, the devil. And the lust thereof, your father you will be, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Right? Boy, Jesus literally let the Pharisees have it, didn't he? And these were the religious people of the day. Notice how easy religious people can be deceived. 2 Corinthians 2:11 and 14. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Right? Satan is transformed into an angel of light. I get a little concerned when I see so many people almost worshiping Donald Trump. And I voted for the man. Some people did, some didn't. I considered him the lesser of two evils, but that doesn't, I'm not trying to get in politics here. Other people may see it the other way around, and I respect your opinion. But the point is, man is never going to fix this thing. That's why Jesus has to come back. And, you know, it's very well possible that Donald Trump, just this week, he met with Abbas. It's very well possible he may negotiate something with Israel and be instrumental in setting up the temple. But we do know that also that when Jerusalem is divided, there's a high likelihood that the Madrid fault will blow and America will be divided. So we could put that in his cap as well. The point is, Satan appears as an angel of light. And he will do that. We read about the Antichrist this morning, the beast. So we have to be men and women of the Word of God. We cannot be. It cannot be the Word and Joe's commentary. We read the commentary, we chew it out, we spit out the bones, but we stick with the holy, infallible Word of God. Amen. Revelation 13:14, he deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he did, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And so we read that actually this morning, didn't we? And then, of course, chapter 19, verse 20 of the book of Revelation. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the image. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. If I was preaching to the world, they would be looking at me like a deer in the headlight. I can't be deceived. What are you talking about? But we know how subtle the devil is, right? So, you know, we understand that. And then finally, chapter 20, verse 7, when the 1,000 years expired, Satan will be loosed from his prison, and he'll go out and he'll deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them together to battle, the number of whom as the sand of the sea. So he's not going to give up. You cannot rehabilitate the devil. That's who he is, right? He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He's an idiot. Prophecy never came by the will of man. When you think about these guys that wrote the Bible, they didn't just one day say, you know, I think I'll write some scripture today. Some of them were farmers out there farming their land. They weren't thinking about writing a book of the Bible. They're out there. I got to get my crops. My crops are ripe. I got to go get them. Bam! God speaks to them. You know, shakes them to the core. You know, I'm thinking of Hosea. He's the one that I'm thinking of as the farmer. You know, And what did he do? He went and he wrote and he told Israel what God said, and he wrote it down. And when he had finished, he went back to farming. He didn't say, well, God used me, so I'm going to make a career out of this. I'm going to write books. I'm going to go on CBN and CNN, and I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to set up a website, and I'm going to have a YouTube channel, and I'm going to do all these things. And you know, and I go back to these guys that we watch on YouTube and watch on that, and that's all nice and good. But these are men who are interpreting things. These are not Hosea, because Hosea went back home and went back to his crop. They were not career people. There's times I wish I had more time to study, but other times I thank God that I am supporting my family without having to rely on the church, because church and ministry should never be a career. It should be a calling. Can I get an amen? It should be a calling. I'm not in it to line my pockets or make a name for myself. I don't care. I'm here to do what God called me to do, and I'm going to stick to the bedrock of God's Word. Hallelujah. Amen. So prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, right? Right? Without the Holy Spirit, we do not have the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the vehicular power of God to communicate to lost humanity. And every word in this book is Holy Spirit inspired. Not every YouTube channel and not every web page is Holy Spirit inspired, but I know that every word in this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we've all met scoffers when we've tried to witness for the Lord, and they will say things like, well, the Bible has many flaws in it. And I always go, name one. And 99 out of 100 couldn't name one. They've never read the book in their life. Or they will say, you know, well, I believe Jesus came, you know, or I believe, you know, God, you know, but I, you know, some of those other guys, you know. Well, let's just tear those pages out of the Bible. Right? You can't do that. This book, from cover to cover, is the Word of Almighty God. It's the Word of God. I'm taking it to my grave. If the Lord tarries, I'll take it to my grave. If God gave me opportunity, I would take it to Congress. I would stand on the hallowed halls of Congress and say, you've taken down the Ten Commandments, but they are the Word of God, and you have forsaken your Maker. It's the Word of God. You know, it's time the church got a backbone for the Word of God again. You know, it is not politically correct, but it is truth. Truth is truth. Before Pilate, Jesus was asked, what is truth? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was looking at truth. Amen. Jesus is truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm glad I know the way, don't you? I said, I'm glad I know the way. There's a way that seems right to man, and the end thereof is death, but I have found His grace. It is all complete and supplies my every need. Jesus is the way and the truth. Chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to you and me. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to a political pundit. He's not talking to anybody. He's talking to the church of Jesus Christ. He's talking to you and me. And he says, there are false prophets among you, and there will be false teachers among you guys in the 21st century, right? Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. I tremble when I think about the people who will miss the rapture. It cuts me to the core. And 2 weeks ago we talked about the fools, and last week we allude to the five foolish virgins, and I guess today we can kind of say that the Lord won't let me leave this, because there are going to be people who are going to tell people that certain lifestyles are okay and you can still be a Christian. That we can even ordain you. That Carlton Pearson left Higher Dimensions Church and went to California to pastor a homosexual church. I love that guy. I still love him, but he's wrong. He's wrong. Sin is sin. Amen? And I'm not here to mince words. God calls it an abomination. Right? We don't hate them. We love the sinner. We hate the sin. But we don't make excuses for it. The Bible doesn't say that homosexuals are born that way. It says they refused to honor God and He turned them over to a reprobate mind. That's what the Bible says. And since we're talking about the Bible this morning as being the guidebook, then that's where I stand. Amen? So there's going to be false teachers secretly bringing in destructive heresies, denying the Lord that brought them, and bringing on themselves destructions. And many will follow their destructive ways. And is that not what we're seeing today? Well, if you don't like that, just go to this church. They say it's okay. Doesn't matter what the church says, it's what God says. Amen? Doesn't matter what is the current trend, it's what God says. I believe America is ripe for judgment. I really do. I believe if the Lord tarries and we're not raptured out of here by the end of summer, I think within the next year we could see some major events happen in the United States. Many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Have you ever had anybody laugh at you when you said, well, you know, the Bible says that's wrong? That's blasphemy. When they're laughing at the Word of God, that is blasphemy. Well, that makes me mad. You can laugh at my man cave, I won't get mad. If you laugh at the Word of God, that makes me mad. This is the Word of God. It's God's Word. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Now, this goes back to some of the televangelists, huh? I know they have to pay their utility bills. I get that. And I'm sure that TV airtime is expensive. But at what point does some of that become covetousness? If we can sell 50 more of these, I can get me a new car. Right? I'm not trying to make one of those sermons where I'm just downing people. Everybody likes to have nice things, and everybody should be paid according to their, you know, skill level, right? But God has a word for sin called covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. One of those Ten Commandments, right? By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words, and for a long time their judgment has not been idle. And their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly, and deliver righteous Lot, which was oppressed by his filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing their and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. All of that to say, God will help you if you are sincere and struggling with sin. He knows how to deliver you. And for those who don't care, He knows how to bring judgment. Amen. Now, we don't mix them up, do we? I'm not pointing my finger at you saying everybody's going to hell because you screwed up last week. If you are sincere, God knows how to deliver you from temptation and take you into His holy heaven. You're His child. That's not what this sermon is about. But it is about how God is righteous and that He will not slumber for those who do not fear God, those blasphemous people who are doing immoral acts with no fear of God. There is coming a day of judgment. It's coming. Hallelujah. And so, with that being in mind, one of the things that, from a prophecy standpoint, that we know that is on the cusp of the future is the destruction of Jerusalem, Isaiah 17. Right? And the latest news toward Isaiah 17, the destruction of Jerusalem, is that Donald Trump and Putin have apparently agreed to let Iran back into Syria. First they got them out, now they're letting them back in. And they're setting up like four different areas where the different areas, no-fly zone and a no-fire zone where they're trying to bring this civil war down. And the one area that Iran and Hezbollah has is the area adjacent to the Golan, where Israel is. Now, Israel, as you know, has been flying into that area and taking out weapons caches anytime they find that Iran has shipped weapons into that area to Hezbollah. And now there has been an agreed-on no-fly zone over those areas, with Iran having troops along with Hezbollah at the Golan border. Talk about a hot spot. We know that Israel will be a cup of trembling in the last days, that nobody's going to tell them what they can do if they feel threatened. You know, and it all goes back to the Holocaust, where they say, never again. Never again will we allow this to happen. So we will go, I don't care what you call a no-fly zone. If we want to go in there, we're going to go in there. We're going to take out what may threaten our existence. So it doesn't really matter what they've done. But the point is, it creates a greater potential for the conflict that could lead to the fulfillment of Isaiah 17. And you say, well, what does all that have to do with the Word of God and prophecy and all of what you just read? Because there is a chapter after Isaiah 17, Isaiah 18, that refers to a land beyond the farthest known land in Israel at the time. So God says it's past this. And without getting into all the word, I'm not going to read it to you this morning because it's really wordy. But the interpretation is that it may be talking about the United States. Why is it talking about the United States? Because it's a land divided by rivers. And it starts out just like Isaiah 17. It starts out with a woe. A woe. And if this is truly the United States, Isaiah 18, and this woe is pronounced on it, it's about the land being divided by rivers. And if you have read or heard John Kirkpatrick's dream about the New Madrid Fault, John Kirkpatrick is a tremendous man of God, a pastor of Assembly of God Church, who grew up in a single-parent family. His dad left, he and his mom, and his only mentor was a pastor who taught him how to pray. He tells a story of there was a problem in the church, and the pastor was falsely accused and was going to leave, And he was so angry that he was going to catch a train and leave town that night. He was just mad at God, mad at everything, because he finally found this mentor who had led. And then the devil came in and did this, and his pastor was just going to leave, and he was so upset. But it was the last night of the prayer meeting. He was going to run away from home that night, and they would, the workers in the factory would get off about 11 o'clock, so they'd start this prayer meeting close to midnight. And they're in this prayer meeting, and they're praying, and all of a sudden, the door that was locked with about four bolts, the back of the church, flies open, and about 2 8-foot angels walk down the aisle. And that's about all they remember, if I remember the story. They wake up, and cars are going by, and it's daylight. A life-changing event. This is a man of God. And John Kirkpatrick, a few years ago, God gave him a vision, and he saw a map, like the old maps, the old yellow maps of old, and he saw two cities on this map, and the connection was basically the New Madrid Fault. And in this vision God gave Brother Kirkpatrick, there was an earthquake, and the New Madrid Fault, the ocean comes up to the Great Lakes that come down, and a giant river divides the entire United States. The Navy and the U.S. Geological Study, there was an earthquake back in 1811 that didn't kill too many people and did very little damage because it was so unpopulated. They say today, if it happened like it did then, 300 billion people would die. Or is it 300 million? Maybe that's 300 million. Oh, no, it's the dollar amount, $300 billion in damage. So many million people would die. Yeah, that's a little too high. Fish story, they always get bigger, right? And there are 13 nuclear reactors located in that area. So we're living in the last days. When President Bush insisted that Israel give up the Gaza Strip, you had Israelis standing on the roof of their house crying because they didn't want to leave, and the government had to come in, the IDF, and physically remove them. A week later, Hurricane Katrina blows through, and you've got citizens in the United States standing on the roofs because of the water crying, and the government's having to come in and remove them. Don't you tell me that what we do with Israel won't come back on us. And now we have a president that is pushing for peace and the dividing of Jerusalem, and Brother Kirkpatrick says, I don't know this for a fact, but I believe God gave me a vision of what will happen to the United States if a president divides Jerusalem. We are living in the last days. And so, understanding our enemy, he's a liar, he's a deceiver. Understanding the time in which we live, we need to be men and women of the Word. We need to be men and women who are salt and light. We need to quit worrying about politics and get back to quoting, "Thus says the Lord." Amen. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. What matters is who is in the holy heaven. It doesn't matter what's going to happen with Congress. What matters is the Word of Almighty God. Amen. Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I want to read just a couple more verses as Nola comes. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve unjust under punishment for the day of His judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. Presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And this is kind of why I know I've mentioned a few things today, but we still need to pray for our leaders, and we still need to be careful what we say about people God puts in the office, right? And that went back to Obama, and that goes forward to Trump as well. They are presumptuous and self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a railing accusation against them before the Lord. My final authority is the Word of God. Your final authority is the Word of God. I cannot know the authority unless I read the authority. Right? I cannot know what to tell people, the Bible says, unless I read it. I have to be a student of the Word. Everybody who God has ever used in the past have always been students of the Word. You can't not be a student of the Word of God and have God speak through you, because He speaks through His Word. Amen? We need the Word of God. And so the question is, where does that leave me? What is all this about? It's about being careful that we do not allow different ministries to influence us. I don't even want my opinion to influence you. I want only the Word of God to influence you. Amen? It's being so careful so that we are not falling into the latter day deception of getting your eyes on man, getting your eyes on an opinion, getting your eyes on any of these things, but only the Word of God. Amen? Say it with me. Only the Word of God. I made the title of this message, The Word and Only the Word. That's really all it comes down to. The Word and only the Word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we need you this morning. Without the Holy Spirit, Lord, the Word is a closed book. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and help us to read past the black and white print and understand the spirit of the Word of God. It's not open for private interpretation. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It is the holy, infallible Word of God. It is the basis for our life. It is the foundation which we stand on. And Lord, not one jot or one tittle will pass away. The world doesn't understand this. But we know you are coming back just like you said. We know the last days will happen just like you said. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to be men and women of the Word, to lay aside the distractions, the opinions, and be Word people, the Word and the Word only. We can't do it without you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul.
Someone a hug before you go. Thanks for coming.